And we should be speaking shortly with Amit Lowe, and of course, shortly also with Ted Schmidt about the Pope's visit. And we'll have to ask him about Obama's views on Cuba. And I wonder what the Pope thinks of Obama's opinion about the Cubans being responsible for their own blockade. We'll find out. Again, now, this subject of Burkina Faso, just to highlight it, we're going to start with the issue of the fact that the key group, the so-called elite unit of 1,500 best fighters in any country, and the so-called third world, you will always find a commando group that is in charge of the president's security. It always turns out that the commando group has more firepower than the entire army and air force of the country. And you say, who are they going to protect him against? So that it's an should be a matter we can get to the bottom of with Mr. Amit Lowe, and I think he's joined us. Are you there, Amit?
Yeah, hi, Phil. How are you doing? I'm sorry I missed your call earlier.
That's okay. We're persistent, and we're glad to get you. You are, of course, a Pan-Africanist, a Senegalese in origin. You're in Toronto, and you do a weekly radio show, Amandla. We really want to know, you've been following the developments in Burkina Faso. I want to start with this first story, which I see today, that the elite unit that seized power illegally a week ago and now has backed away has not yet disarmed. What do you make of that?
Yes, it's true. The unit is still with their arms, even though they are kind of confined to the military barrack, but they have not deposited their arms. But for people, maybe it's important to understand the process that led to the current situation developing up to today. Mm-hmm. Because as you mentioned, Burkina Faso has been on the news recently since October, when a massive popular revolt kind of pushed out the former military dictator Blaise Compaoré, who was in power since 1987. Compaoré himself, he came to power through a military coup where he kind of assassinated his former comrade and friend, Thomas Sankara, who was one of the leading African revolutionaries at the time. And he was killed along with 12 others of his comrades in a very bloody coup. And then since then, Blaise Compaoré, who was at the heart of this this issue, who was running the country, of course, with the support of international forces, including France mostly, and the NATO countries in general. Mm-hmm. So in October, what happened is that after 27 years in power, he tried to manipulate the constitution in order to run for another term in office. That was what led to the massive rebellion of the population, who said that no way this is going to be happening. And through a massive mobilization of the population, after 2 days, he ran away. And then, unfortunately, he ran away and left the country again through the help of the French special forces that are stationed inside the country. They made him possible to run away and leave the country and went to establish himself in a neighboring Ivory Coast. Now, when he left behind him his what was called the Presidential Guard, which was one of the most powerful elements within the military, and who was dedicated absolutely exclusively to his protection, which is a group of around 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. And then that unit since then have refused consistently the calls coming from the civil society organization, the political parties, to be disbanded, because this is a unit that has been involved on lots of different dubious actions in Burkina Faso through political assassination of political leaders, of journalists, etc. But also internationally in the sub-region, they were very instrumental in supporting the rebellion that was taking place in the late 90s in Sierra Leone and in Liberia. Yes. And they were also a very close ally with General Sabini from Angola, where they helped him go around the UN embargo on arms and then continue to provide support to Jonas Savimbi all the way to Angola.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we're speaking to Amos Lowe. By the way, Amos Lowe is at with Group for Research and Initiatives for the Liberation of Africa, the acronym GRILA, GRILA.org. Now, I saw an article, and I think you've probably seen this as well, After the Coup by Brian Peterson. It's in at AfricanArguments.org. The issue is, it seems to be that, as you were outlining before, that there's a the institutions all remain in place, and there's been a year of discussion, but actually Campari's group and family are still very – have a lot of power. And you have an election coming up, but as I read this, it's not going to be a fair fight because the supporters of the Sankara story envisioned for Burkina Faso, they don't have the kind of resources – that Mr. Campari's friends have. So is that really, is anything much going to change?
Yes, it's a very good question because even though Campari left, his apparatus that run the country for 27 years is still intact. Now, there have been some attempts from the transition government that has been in place since last October and was supposed to organize the election in this coming October after 1 year of transition. And they have attempted to kind of remove from the competition, the electoral competition, all those forces of the Campari regime who openly supported his attempt to manipulate the constitution last year to in order to stay in power. But that is not enough because, as I mentioned earlier, this Campari and his regime have been implicated in a lot of diamond trafficking in Sierra Leone, in Angola, in Liberia. So they have a huge amount of resources in their hands, not to mention the international support that they enjoy from France and the United States. Because as you might know, because the insecurity happening right now in what is called the Sahel region, Burkina Faso has been a central piece in the strategy of the NATO forces and the France to kind of circumvent the actions of what they call the jihadist movement in the Sahel region. So as we speak in the Burkina Faso, in the capital Ouagadougou itself, at the airport, there is some military, underground military bases hosting drones from the United States and France also, from where they operate to fly around the region in order to control more or less what they call the jihadist movement operating within that region. Mm-hmm. So not only they have massive financial resources available to them in order to regain power, maybe through electoral process, but also they still enjoy international political support from those forces like France and the United States. And this is what is the most fundamental issue that the progressive forces in the country today have to tackle, which to make sure that even though Campari is gone, there's an urgent task that is needed in order to restructure the country, dismantle the basis of the regime that has been in place for 27 years in order to open up a new political space where progressive forces can reemerge and reconnect the country back to its history of revolutionary transformation where Thomas Sankara has put the country in the late 80s. So that's the challenge right now. And that's why I believe we need a lot of political support in order to make sure that this transition leads to an opening up of the political process and not a restoration of the old forces that are represented by the political parties of Campari and its military wing, the Presidential Guard.
We're speaking to Aneth Lowe, GRILA.org, and also the radio program Amandla, of which he hosts. Has Mr. Campari said a word about anything, or is he laying low? What's he doing?
Right now, he's from the last information I heard that he was injured a couple of weeks ago through some doing some exercise, and then he got some broken legs or something like that. He's receiving some attention in Morocco. So he put out a very sarcastic note last week saying that he offered himself to sacrifice. He accepted to be blamed for everything that happened in the country. And then he kind of saying that because of that, he's really accepting the blame on him if it can help the country go back to a situation of stability. But this is just sarcastic because everybody knows that what happened last week with this presidential guard trying to derail for a third time the transition process within the last 12 months, it is clear that Blaise Compaoré has his hand in it, as well as those who support Blaise Compaoré, which is Ivory Coast, which is kind of a proxy force of the French in the region.
Mm-hmm. It looks like the population really only gets what they want when they go in the streets. It's still at this stage. I noticed Hollande stepped in saying, oh, we don't approve of this. But that isn't terribly encouraging, is it? Because if he's acting really like he's the godfather.
Yeah, he is. But you know that the imperialist forces have this capability of adjusting their message based on where they see movements growing. Because when they realize that the population in Burkina Faso was determined to oppose this military coup and then to fight, if necessary, through the price of their life to restore the transition, some countries like France have started saying, okay, we don't support this kind of takeover by military power. Mm-hmm. But that was not the first message they sent the first day of the military coup. But once they realized that this has very little chance of succeeding, and that's when they start
I'm going to be interested to see whether the French asked this commando unit, the elite, to disarm. That will be interesting.
Yeah. That would be interesting. I can say it because, as I mentioned, they have the interest. They're not friends with anybody. As long as these groups who advance their interests, they're going to support them.
Anybody, so long as he's friendly to France.
That's it. If they realize that these guys are no longer in a position to safeguard their interests in the region, they will sacrifice them and try to build another alliance within the political forces that are more or less neoliberal kind of forces who will not challenge the neocolonial status quo that exists in the country.
Okay. Last question about this. There's references that are being made to the Sankara dossier, and it might even have triggered the coup, because the public wants to know who murdered their previous president, Mr. Sankara. Is that a central issue that the opposition should be putting, or those who are demonstrating and whatnot? How important is it to know who killed Sankara?
It is, because the country has been living under the context of impunity for 27 years. As I mentioned earlier in my introduction, a lot of people have been murdered in the country as opposing the Compaoré regime. But also, lots of people have lost their lives, more than tens of thousands of people, through the wars that occurred in Sierra Leone and Liberia. So the cycle of impunity has to be put to an end at one point. Mm-hmm. And these elements were very central in what happened in the region for 20 or more years. That's why it's very important to get to the bottom of who was involved in the assassination of Thomas Sankara in order to make sure that those who were involved are brought to justice, to signal that no longer it will be acceptable for these kind of forces to assassinate people with impunity every time the African people have chosen a new way that is going to deepen the process of their own liberation. And then, because we have witnessed the case of Lumumba in the early 60s in the Congo, we have witnessed the assassination of Thomas Sankara, of Stephen Biko in South Africa, of Chris Hani in South Africa.
Yes,
every time there's an alternative that emerges within the African context, you see that these hostile forces kind of move in and assassinate these leaders, and it's happening.
And get away with it. Yes. Amit Lowe, thank you very much at grila.org. And we really do appreciate it. We're going to keep in touch with you because this is obviously going to continue to unfold. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having me today, and good luck.
Yeah. Thank you. And you're listening to the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. By the way, go to taylor-report.com for previous programs. And we're on Facebook / The Taylor Report. You can write to us, taylor@ciut.fm.